Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God is good. God is good. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's just go ahead and bow our heads. Lord, we want to thank you, God, for this time and this opportunity, God, to open our hearts and our minds to your word and to your truth. And we just pray that we'll learn of you tonight. God, sharpen our swords. God, be reminded of what you've taught us, God. And you would show us new things as well, God. We just want to thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this great worship. Just thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are here tonight, God. And Lord, we pray your name would be lifted up. And just pray, God, for the words to speak according to your will. And you would have your way completely. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Thank you, thank you. How's everybody doing tonight? Great, great. Midweek service. Getting that charge, that fill. Amen. Getting that fellowship. So much that you get, you know, when you come together with the saints. You know what I mean? Just so much. And what a blessing. So, but the title of the study tonight is Bearing Good Fruit. And the message I had taught was on bearing much fruit. And so we're going to look at the scriptures and what it talks about bearing good fruit in our life. Because you really think about it, you know, every Bible study, every sermon is a self-examination message. You know what I mean? At least it should be, right? We need to continue to examine ourselves daily, whether we be in the faith. Like Pastor Thomas said in his last message, he said that we can't just assume we're all right. You know, that's dangerous to just assume. Oh, I'm good. I'm going to church. I'm, you know, putting in the offering. I'm, you know, being nice to people. I'm, you know, checking the boxes and all that. But we really got to really look at our life and dig in. And we know that, you know, of ourself, we're nothing. You know, the Bible says our righteousness as filthy rags. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one, you know. But yet God allows us to be saved by his mercy and his grace and his patience with us. So the first set of scriptures is in John chapter 15, and we'll take a look at that. And we read that in the previous study, but it says in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So, obviously we know we need to bear forth much fruit, and we got to allow God to work on our life. You know what I mean? We're all a work in progress. And I like in one of the last verses there in that set of scriptures where it says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So we got to hide the word of God in our heart that we won't sin against God. So therefore we can bear forth good fruit. So that's the thing. And the whole thing is that is putting God number one. I mean, that's the thing. He doesn't want to be number two. You know, you know, a lot of people say that they have Jesus as part of their life, you know, instead of him being number one. And that's the thing. We got to allow God to be number one in our life, in our decisions, you know, in our time, in our effort, in our resources. And don't be weary. Don't be weary and continuing to put God first. He knows what he's doing. You know, I was thinking about that recently and how that I felt that, well, you know, I've been surrendered to God for many years and things and But really, God has helped me recently to surrender to him in a deeper way, you know, a more personal way. So just when you think you're surrendered, God's like, you can surrender more. You can surrender in a deeper way. And then that just means more blessings. That means you're going to grow stronger in God and more blessings are going to flow in your life. So we're going to take a look at Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 26. And talking about the fruits of the Spirit here. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So when you really look at it, it says the fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. So sometimes you got to look at your life as, how is the love of God flowing through? Am I allowing love to be in control even when that person gives me a hard time? Or maybe someone treated you unfair, you know what I mean? Or they did you wrong, or, you know, they shortchanged you, or maybe something on the ship, right? And they didn't really treat you like you thought that they should. But is the love of God still there for that person, though? You know what I mean? No matter what. And sometimes we can feel justified. Well, you know, I didn't like what they said, and, you know, that wasn't right, and we just get worked up. We all do, you know, we all have. But we got to allow the love of God to abound in our life, even in that tribulation, you know, that we go through. And we got to look at our life as far as joy. Is that joy abounding in our life? Sometimes we got to go to God and say, God, I need more joy. You know, it's okay to just be honest and say, you know, I just need more joy in my life, God. And he can give it to you. He will. So whatever it is that we need, we can get more of. So sometimes it's that joy. I remember one time working at this one place. Anybody have a place that they just worked and it was just miserable? Absolutely. You know, it was just God bringing, keeping you through it, right? And I was working at Sports Authority in the Gurney Mills Mall. And it seemed like the supervisor was just never happy with anything we did. Oh, my goodness. It was unbelievable. And I just was, you know, you just endure. You just keep a good attitude. And I remember one guy, he said, you know what? But I'm not going to let her take my joy. And Pastor Payne, that Wednesday, I remember he preached on joy. I thought, wow, you know, you can't let people steal your joy. You know what I mean? No matter what. So we got to have joy. We got to have peace, right? And I was thinking about peace and how that, as far as like our decisions and things that we make, we got to be, you know, acknowledging God. And you know, when it's the right decision, you have peace about it. You know what I mean? You have peace when, you know, God's leading you and directing you. And but when you are not making good decisions, you don't have that peace, right? You feel awkward. You feel like, you feel uneasy. Like when people are doing sin, they're feeling uneasy, like they got to watch their back or something. You know, people that are in gangs, they're always watching their back everywhere they go. You know what I mean? They might be in a mansion and they're still watching their back because they're doing sin. They got that money from sin. And what? Who wants to live a life like that? But when we have peace, you know, you're following what God wants you to do. And that's such a blessing. And then you got long suffering. Anybody went through long suffering even today? Yeah, amen. I know my brother over there, John, he was like, he wasn't sure if he was going to make it. He was still on the ship then. Well, I don't know. They still got me on the ship. And I looked over in the altar and there he was. I thought, oh, that's encouraging. You know, that's encouraging because he easily could have said, well, you know, my flesh is tired. They worked me late. I'm just going to go and take a rest. But there's a spiritual rest in God that we get, you know, when we press forward and press through things and everything. So now looking at gentleness, right? You got gentleness, you got goodness, you got faith. We got to examine our life, right? Faith, you know, sometimes we need more faith. You can tell when doubt's coming in, right? And what does it do to faith? What does doubt do to faith? It decreases it, right? Yeah, that's right. So we got to look at our faith, and are we stepping out in faith? I was listening to a leadership CD just yesterday, and the person was talking about when people get to the 11th hour of their life, what do they say they wish they would have done more of their life? And a lot of the responses were they wish they would have taken more risks. And I thought, wow. I didn't expect him to say that, but he said risks. And I was talking about, as a Christian, you look at Peter, right? He took a risk, didn't he? When he stepped out in that water, no guarantee that he was going to, you know, walk on water. But by faith, you know, he did. He walked on water to Jesus because he acknowledged Jesus first, and then he went. So we've got to acknowledge Jesus first before, you know, we make moves. You know, just like King David, he would acknowledge God before going into a battle. And that's the same thing we need to do, too, because I tell you what, the devil gets you fighting battles that don't matter. You know what I mean? Battles that just... So... But anyway, but to have that faith, to step out in faith, because we tend to be in our comfort zone, you know, we like our comfort zone, and we're very routine people, right? We have our certain routine, we do this in the morning, and then we do this, and then we get here, we do that, and we're so routine that sometimes if someone asks us to come out of that routine, we're like, you know, where I work, I tell you, if you're not flexible, you might as well find another job, because I'm telling you, you get run over, you just, because... In my job, HR, people come in for all kinds of different needs, and you know, you get stretched. And I see that in my coworkers all the time, and myself. So, but anyway, you know, just recognizing those things, and you know, in verse 23 it says meekness and temperance, and it says against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So you think about it when it comes to making it to heaven, right? We got to walk in the Spirit. You want to, if you want to go to heaven, walk in the Spirit. There's a lot that comes with that. And that's why the devil is constantly trying to distract us from walking in the Spirit. I mean, you could be in the study right now and just thinking about the football game last Sunday, my team lost, you know. Or you could be thinking about, oh, I got to deal with that tomorrow. I don't want to deal with that. Or you could be thinking about, you know, just different things, even things you're looking forward to, you know. And you're just out there. And, you know, I know because, you know, I, like when I'm sitting here and the message is going forth, I have to fight off those thoughts, you know, to make sure that I'm, you know, focusing on the message. And or even when I'm reading the Bible, focusing on the Word of God. There's been times where I had to go reread a section just because I was just got distracted, start thinking about other stuff. It's like, wow, did I even get that? So I go back over and just reread. So because you want to soak it in. You want to soak in the Word of God. So from here, we're going to go and talk about spending time with God. That's going to be the next section. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And but before I go into this verse, I was just thinking about how a lot of times, the majority of the times when someone is sharing or teaching, it's a lot of the things you already know. Most of the time, you know. And a lot of it is just being reminded and being refreshed, and then that way, because whatever you talk about, I mean, have you ever talked about a particular topic? It might be cars, it might be this, that, and the other. But what do you walk away thinking about if you talk about money? What do you go from there? What are you thinking about? You're thinking about money. So when you're talking about the Word of God, it helps keep God on your mind and in your focus. And in verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." And that goes back to what we were talking about. And the point about this scripture here is spending time with God, we got to be charged up, right? We got to stay charged up, just like a cell phone, right? And I know cell phones, the more it can do, the faster it can run out, right? And so, you know, when we're doing things for God, we got to be recharged. You look at Jesus, he was always took time to recharge. And that just means getting away from the crowd and spending time with God in prayer, personal time and study, and things like that. So seeking the kingdom of heaven first. And I really think about, you know, if we, whenever we're having problems, if we're having a spiritual problem, basically, if you really look back into the root of the problem, it's a lack of time with God. You know what I mean? Because, you know, your tank and your cup is getting low. And then all of a sudden you start thinking more about the world. And then you start to, then your decisions start to become, you know, mediocre decisions. And you start to waver. So that's why I really want to encourage everybody to continue to spend time with God. And you have to set stuff aside. You know what I mean? Set this aside. Set that aside. Set everything aside. And then you can spend some time with God. And never be weary in doing that. Gotta keep charged up. Okay, so now I'm gonna talk a little bit about repentance. Repentance. That's so huge. That's huge in our walk with God because, you know, we got to get the corrosion out. We got to get the sin out. We've got to keep clean before God in order to do it work for God, right? Yeah. And have you ever anybody wore whites in the Navy? Anybody wear whites in the Navy? And at the end of the day, you know, all of a sudden they were dirty and you could see certain spots and different things. And it just natural. We naturally get dirty. You know, I work in an office and you wouldn't think that I would get dirty, but just the flesh is dirty. You know, you still got to take a shower every day. Whether you work in an office or you work, you know, in a mechanic shop, you still got to take a shower. And we still got to repent, you know, every day on a regular basis. So. So godly sorrow, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. We'll take a look at that. And it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all these things we have approved ourselves to be clear in this matter. So we got to allow that godly sorrow to work in our life. Even if you thought you had a great day, one of those days where it just seems everything was clicking, everything was going great, you abounded in God, you know, God was using you and fruit was coming from your life, right? And we still got to repent, even on our best day. We've got to repent, live a repentful life, and keep clean before God. And so we got to listen to that conviction. You know, we got to listen to conviction. If we want to bear forth good fruit, we got to listen to conviction. We got to stay on that straight, narrow path. We got to stay focused. Anybody read the book Power of Focus before? I don't know if anybody got a chance to read that book by the Chicken Soup for the Soul authors. Okay. Yeah, the Power of Focus, great book. I tell you what, it's very powerful because we got to have a level of focus in order to bear forth good fruit, right? Again, we know when you pray and when you study, when you fellowship and you worship and you do the things of God, it gives you a sober mind. How many times have you come from the altar in your prayer time and you came away from the altar you just felt sober-minded in your heart and mind? It's like you're just clear thinking, you know what I mean, in your heart and mind? And that's what we need on a regular basis, and to have that focus to do what God's called us to do, because there's opportunities every day, you know, and we could miss out by distractions. So repentance, to turn from sin, you know. We got to turn from sin. We can't just say, well, you know, there was a song. We have Bible studies at the C9, and, you know, they're playing all their secular music, and, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, you block it out, you know. But I heard one verse, and it said in a song, it said, Lord, you know I can't change. And I looked to a brother, I said, you know, bro, that song said, Lord, you know I can't change. That's a lie. I mean, we can't change on our own, yeah. But, you know, but we can change through God, through the power of God, going to God and letting God change us. So that really is a lie. That's why, you know, secular music, what do you really get out of it? When they're singing about the world, they're given a worldly perspective. And if we're sitting there popping in our car because it sounds good, it's like, oh, that sounds great. Like Pastor Taylor, you know, he was talking about his testimony, you know, listening to worldly music. And it was, I know for me it was hard too, because I was sitting there and I would, it was a message on let go and let God is what God helped me to let go of my worldly music. And so when I was finally, you know, throwing them out, head to bag, I was throwing them out, and I would stop and go, Michael Jackson, that's not that bad. That should be okay. And then God's like, no, throw it out. And then I would stop and say, oh, this is not that bad. It's pretty good. It's not. And then God's like, no, throw it out. And I did that, you know, several times, and then finally I got it all in the bag. And then I was thinking about giving it to somebody. But what would be the problem with that? Yeah, I mean, here it is, my problem, and I'm going to give it to somebody else? That makes no sense, you know? So thank God that he helped me to just get rid of it. And since then, God has helped me to have a whole new music collection. God's not worried about the style. What style you like, if you like country or you contemporary or rap or, you know, rock. It, you know, as long as it's, you know, music that's lifting up Christ and that, it, you know, inspires you. Now, I've had some so-called Christian music that, yeah, they say they're Christian, but it doesn't move me. It didn't get nothing out of it. And honestly, it's just kind of like, okay, this isn't really profiting me. You know what I mean? So just kind of share a little bit about that. But because we can't have anything like the body, right? We, you know, clogged arteries, right? Things like that. We got to have a free heart, a clean heart. Because we have clogged arteries, our heart is not going to function properly. So we got to get out the impurities out of our life, you know, and that comes through repentance. So for the next section of the study, we're just going to talk a little bit more about scriptures concerning good fruit here. In Proverbs 13, in verse 1 and 2, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction,
but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. So, you know, looking at this scripture here, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. So we got to hear God's instruction, because he instructs us every day. And I remember someone said, you know, God will teach you a Bible study throughout the day if you listen. He's always, you look at Jesus, he was always teaching, always teaching, always teaching, you know. And then, of course, you know, especially this is going over the book of Acts, we see what they were able to carry out through Jesus' teaching. One of the biggest things was to walk by faith and to not doubt. That was one of the biggest things that the apostles had to learn. Because how many times did Jesus say, oh, ye of little faith, oh, ye of little faith, oh, ye. And you look at Peter, some of his major failures, and you think, wow, he's an apostle. Looks, he just, wow, look at his shortcomings. But, you know, you read after that, you know, after the death of Jesus and his resurrection, it's like you think about what Peter was able to do, go on and do after that, that even the shadow of Peter got healed and used him in that capacity. So Peter went on to do very great things and much more consistent. And that's what God wants to do with our life, too. You know what I mean? We're going to make a lot, you know, a lot of mistakes. We're going to fall short, and we're going to fall on our face. We're going to break our nose spiritually. But we got to get back up and keep getting back up and keep getting back up. Never quit. You know, never give up. Because if you give up, then what? Then there's no hope for heaven whatsoever if you give up. You know, they said, do they ever have like an award ceremony for quitters? You know, in the Navy, Rod, did you ever have like a, you know, we like to honor these people because they give up and they're getting out of the Navy and they said they had enough. And I mean, it's like, no, that's not. It's always for sacrifice and dedication. Okay, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And it says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye might eat the good of the land. Oh, what did it say? Oh, it says shall. Okay. Ye shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So the key here in verse 19 is be willing and obedient. Willing, if there first be a willing mind, right? The Bible talks about a willing mind. It also talks about a willing heart. We'd have a willing mind and a willing heart, and obedient, because God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. And I was thinking about this in the religious world. The religious world thinks that, hey, if I shout loud in church, man, that make me more spiritual. People even think I'm more spiritual. And if I have bumper stickers and I got my little, you know, religious shirts going on, and wow, then I'm really spiritual. And really all that is really just to make up for a lack of what they're not doing for God. You know what I mean? Because really you don't have, it's all from the heart, you know, it really is. God looks at sincerity. That's what God wants. God wants sincerity. It's not a show. So, but looking at the scripture, in verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, and I think about that because rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. And we've all been rebellious. I've been rebellious. You know what I mean? We all have. But we got to beware of that. We got to watch that. We got to examine that. We got to purge it out quick. Because sin can get a hold of you real easy. You know what I mean? It tries to latch on you. You know what I mean? Just like a spider, right? He puts out that spider web, and it's out there, and just hopes that little fly comes close enough to it to get that little wing in there, and boom. All of a sudden, now he's entangled. If he doesn't kick out at that point, then he get more entangled, more entangled, more entangled, and then pretty soon that spider comes down and just says, boom, and just takes a life right out of him. But that's the thing. Shouldn't even been flying around it, you know what I mean? And that's what the devil does, you know what I mean? He tries to get us to fly around that web of sin and try to get us to, you know, get entangled with the world again, trying to draw us back into the world, so we have to kick out. Just like wrestling, right? You know, they got to kick out. You know, anybody watch wrestling? I don't even watch wrestling, but, you know, you got to kick out. You know, you can't let them get that submission hold on you, you know what I mean? Okay. All right, let's go to, let's look at James chapter 3. In verse 17 and 18, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's sown, right? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit as we get ready to close here. We're coming down the last part here. And but sowing seeds. What, you know, we all sow seeds every day. We sowed seeds today. Even if we chose not to do anything for God, we sowed seeds, you know, good or bad. We sow seeds every day by what we say, by what we do, by our actions, our behavior, you know what I mean? And in Galatians chapter 6, 7, starting in verse 7, we'll read 7 through 10. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, right? If we faint not. There's a big if there. We can't faint. Because sometimes we do get weary, you know what I mean? We do get weary in doing the right thing, you know? We do get weary in treating people with love even when they're not treating us the way we think they should. Doing the right thing. Sometimes we get weary and making those good decisions. And I was thinking this too, is that in order to stay in the race, sometimes we have to make hard decisions to stay in the race. Has anybody had to make a hard decision to stay faithful to God? Yeah, every hand, right? Every hand. No doubt about it. When Jesus spoke a hard saying, what happened? Yeah, there's a lot of people that left, right? Those that didn't have a made-up mind left. But those that knew that Jesus had the words to eternal life, they stayed. And they continued. You know what I mean? And that's the way we have to be, too, when we have a hard decision. Like the young rich ruler, what happened to him? I mean, you know, he thought he had it going on, right? He had his little checklist and told Jesus all he was doing and everything for him. See, that's the thing. You know, we're not going to stand before God and say, okay, God, here's my checklist. Like that one video that we saw one time. All those people that had their checklist. Lord, I've done all this. Yeah, I know I did this and that. You know, but I did all this. And they were just telling God about all that they did for him. But the ones that came before God for mercy, you know, they made it. And that's the way that we have to come before God too, no matter what. You know, when it comes to judgment, we got to be looking for God's mercy. You know, the Bible says we got to, not with our checklist of how much we've done. So it goes on to say, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We read that. And then goes down to say in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. And I was thinking about that too, about opportunity. Has anybody had any opportunities today to do something for God? Amen. There's opportunities every day, every day. And you know, like I say, you know, you got to make something happen and not wait for something to happen. And I heard this one coach telling his team, he was being interviewed actually, and they said that, you know what, I teach the guys that everybody's a playmaker. Everybody's a playmaker. And I thought about that spiritually, you know. In a church, everybody's important. Everybody can reach souls. Everybody has a part. Everybody can do something. Everybody can jump in there and do something for God. And when you look at it that way, because some people just look at the stars of the team on a basketball team and they just focus on them, or, you know, maybe the great coach they have or whatever, but it's the whole team. I mean, Michael Jordan, would he have any championships if it wasn't for, you know, all the other guys on the team? You know, some of those guys, you don't even remember their name. Those guys, you know, help make it happen too. Everybody is important. And so from here, let's just go to 2 Corinthians, and we are almost done here. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. It says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. And that's the one thing God was dealing with me recently on too, is God has set it up to where it's what you put into it. It really is. And anything that you do, whether your job and getting a promotion, or whether, you know, in the military and moving up. And another thing God was dealing with me too is that he said that just today I was thinking about it, how that we come up higher every day. And sometimes we think in order to come up higher, we need that next title, you know, that next title at work or wherever, you know what I mean? And then we come up higher. But no, you know, we come up higher every day in God, more understanding, more knowledge, you know, by studying the Word of God. We got to come up higher every day. So, and then it goes on to say in verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So that's the thing. If we're going to do it out of grudging heart, I mean, we might as well not do it. It's not going to be a good offering to God. It's not going to be acceptable before God. So, you know what? Maybe we do are in that situation where, you know, we need to sacrifice, we need to give, but we, you know, we're frustrated or whatever. Well, you know, sometimes just take time and just get your focus back. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to go to base if I was, you know, going to minister to souls in the base if I had a bad attitude. I'd rather just get it right. You know what I mean? Get it right and then go to the base. I remember one time I almost didn't go because I did. I had a bad attitude, and the leader had to tell me, hey, you got to check that right now because, you know, if you were to go to base right now, it's not going to do you any good, you know. But I learned, you know, I learned from that. The attitudinal problem, right? Sometimes we have attitudinal problems. Okay, and then in the rest of the verses here, it says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that's another thing I was thinking about too, how that, you know what, God has given us what we need in this life even, so that we can go out and do ministry. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, and everything will be added unto you. So God gives you what you need in this life. Don't worry about it. You're not going to starve living for God. You're going to have a shirt on your back and shoes on your feet. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't seen a seed hungry or begging bread. So he equips you. He gives you what you need. Be thankful for what you have. And the reason that he's giving you what you need so that you can focus on doing ministry. You don't have to say, you know, Matt doesn't have to worry about what am I going to eat tonight or what am I going to eat in the morning? Oh, my goodness, sir. You know, he doesn't have to worry about those things. God will provide what you need in this life. Not say it's always going to be easy. You're going to have some hard times at times. Yeah, but his grace is sufficient. So, but he'll give you what you need so you can do ministry. That's the thing. And then it says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And then in verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us through thanksgiving to God. And so God enriches our life. You know, the Bible says that he gives us life and life more abundantly. You know what I mean? And it's exciting. It's exciting how God works through your life. And he does. He wants to work through us. You know, he wants to bear forth that good fruit. He wants us to abound in him. You know what I mean? We don't want to just barely get by and just, you know, like what someone said, there was a leader that said one time, say, you know, don't say you're struggling. It's better to say you're challenged as opposed to struggling, because struggling sounds like you're not making it. You know what I mean? Struggling, I'm struggling. But say, I'm challenged. That's what we should say. I'm challenged. And challenges are good, because you think about it. Life would be boring if we didn't have any challenges. And that's sometimes what we want. We don't like to be challenged. We don't like the pressure. We don't like, but you know what? What would life be if we didn't have to overcome? God could just give us heaven, but how much greater is it going to be? You know, you think about those teams that win championships, and they're just so elated that they won a championship, and then they're jumping all over each other, just going crazy, and because all that it took to win that championship is the sacrifice. And like the Miami Heat, you know, people think, oh, they're just automatically going to win. No, they knew they had to sacrifice even deeper to get the second championship, and they did, and they got it. They know to get another one is the same thing. But how much more, you know, as a Christian, to sacrifice for God, and that when we go to heaven, how much we're going to rejoice. It's going to be greater than any championship, you know, in sports or anything. So, okay, and the last set of scriptures here is in 2 Corinthians 5, 7 through 10, and it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So I like that scripture, though. I always love that scripture in verse 9, because it says, wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And it's not like we can earn salvation. or do enough good works to be saved, but we do have to labor for God. You know, we got to do, it's not a spectator sport. We just can't watch other people do the work for God while we just, you know. That's why coming to church, it's not our work for God. You know what I mean? It's the gas station. You know what I mean? Then we go out and we do something for God, put it to use. So we've got to labor to be accepted, not of your boss, not to be accepted of your family, not to be accepted of this particular realm of people. You know, sometimes we sit around, we try to, you know, please people so much, right? We've all done it. I've done it. I fell under that pressure of, you know, there was one verse in a song and it said, you know, the performance trap. You don't get caught up in the performance trap, trying to please everybody, because that's exhausting. I mean, but all we got to do is really seek God and seek to please him. And he gives the promotions. He gives the reward. He gives the blessings. And so that's all we have to do is seek to please God and not worry about what everybody thinks about you, because that's a distraction right there. You know what I mean? Worrying about what people think about you. And then that leads into fear, because then you're worried about what they're thinking about. And so then you don't do anything for God, because what are they going to think? And if you find that fear, whatever it is that you're, whatever is holding you back, you know, find what it is that's holding you back. We all have things, right? I have things. Every time I go out and evangelize, I still have to overcome that fear, and God take away that fear and help me to be bold, and I pray for wisdom and compassion. So we all need things. No matter how long we've been saved, we still need to be to have these things so that we can bear forth good fruit. And you know what? Amen. And God promises the kingdom, and we're going to be so glad, you know, that we lived a life for God. Like Pastor Payne said, live a life that God can bless. We're going to be so glad that we did. And we got to help others too, because the time is short. So we really have to have that urgency to see more souls saved. And because really that's why we're still here. See more souls get saved and stay saved. And so I appreciate y'all, and God bless you. Thank you.